Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on the 22nd of October, recording at 5:16 p.m., still British summertime, and of course recording much earlier than usual, as I had mentioned yesterday. Okay, so a quick look at the highlights today so far. It's been a bad day for global stock markets. The Asian markets were all week. Japan, which had been holding out reasonably well, but got clipped for nearly 6.8% today. The Hang Seng down, China down, although still just above its September low. And the European stock market indices have closed out with some fairly substantial declines here. I think four to five is the average, although I see there's an eyebrow raising 8.16% decline by the Spanish IBEX index. And we've certainly got weakness in the markets that are still trading. Brazil currently down over 7%. The U.S. Dow and S&P are down a little over 3%, although the NASDAQ shows a lesser decline for a change. That's down 2%. So plenty of weakness. Bank indices in the U.S., interestingly, are still showing a bit of relative strength. They're down today, but only slightly. Elsewhere, there's so much going on. Government bond indices are steady today, but this is talking about prices now, but barely in the U.S., although we did see big gains in the U.K. gilts and particularly in the bunds today. It's the European bunds, excuse me. Now, a bigger story, possibly the biggest story of the day, is another real surge in the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar index is at 85.63 as I speak. That's another new high in this fast-moving trend. More on that in a moment. But just to give you some idea, the euro is down to 128.83. Sterling is down to 162. That's amazing, really. Now, although I noticed that the Australian dollar is actually up a little bit today, it was down earlier on today. That's quite interesting. Commodity markets are being hit across the boards. The only one that I'm aware of that's actually up today is natural gas, and more on that in a moment. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously there's plenty of fear still in stock markets. Now, what are people worried about? Because after all, the oil price has come way down, all the commodity prices have come way down, so the big inflation threat that had so spooked markets, particularly the Asian markets, that's no longer a factor. And we have bank financial system rescue packages now, and no doubt that once having embarked on that course, that governments and their central banks will continue in that line. Short-term interest rates have been cut, and we can pretty well guarantee that more short-term interest rates are going to be occurring, particularly where we had substantial increases, and we saw the biggest increases, of course, in some of the emerging markets, China and India, for instance. Okay, my take on what they're most worried about is, of course, what I mentioned. I'll start with what I mentioned yesterday, recession and profits downgrades. Inevitably, there will be weaker corporate profits going ahead. Now, one would have thought that perhaps stock markets had discounted plenty of that already. But in this environment of fragile sentiment, it's still a concern. Because if there's any uncertainty, it's not that corporate profits will be lower. The uncertainty is that people don't know the extent or duration of this downturn in corporate profits, although they suspect that it's going to continue well into 2009, and they may be right in that respect. The hedge funds are very worried about further withdrawals. All investment managers are very worried about additional withdrawals. Now, the smart hedge fund people that I talk to are mostly liquid because they recognize that it's just too dangerous doing much trading in this environment. And so they're doing as little as possible because the enormous volatility that we're seeing, the whipsaws, or the scope for being whipsawed is very, very high. So normal disciplines are not so helpful in this environment. And many of us who trade are doing practically nothing. I can't think of a period when I last did so little trading myself. Now, that fear of further hedge fund redemptions or fund redemptions generally is, of course, fueled by that dash to cash that we've seen for a good many more months. Now, a number of people, not least Warren Buffett, feel that that's a big mistake at this stage, that the capitulation trade, that's what it would be today, is a bad one to make. I agree with that. And yes, with the hindsight, we should have all sold everything in equities last year or at the beginning of this year. But to sell here today on what I would describe as the capitulation trade at this stage, I think would be a mistake. But let me define that. I'm not saying that markets have bottomed, although I do feel that we are seeing, have seen, or will see important lows this month. I expect a stock market rally into the year end. I think that the usual honeymoon period that a US administration receives is likely to be a factor here. I think that's likely to be the Obama bounce. That's certainly what the polls and what political trends in terms of the tendency to throw incumbent parties out of office during periods of financial crises and recession holds to form, and I suspect it very strongly that it will. We are getting actions from governments and central banks now that have removed the previous headwind for equities and actually turned it into a tailwind. Although, as I said yesterday, we shouldn't expect markets to suddenly respond instantly to the first rate cut that we've seen from some of these markets, India, for instance, after a period of after a long steady period of progressive interest rate hikes. But when we get the third, fourth, or more rate cut, it may well be a different story. So I can't say, and I don't think anyone can say that, other than just taking a wild guess, that markets have bottomed in here. We know about the downtrends, of course, but we also know that there has been a lot of climactic action recently. We know that there are big overextensions relative to the 200-day or 40-week moving averages, best seen on weekly charts, in my view. We know that sentiment is so bearish, all the sentiment indicators at extremes. Yes, this is an unusual background. Yes, the financial problems are worse than we have seen in the living past, but they are being addressed. And they will, more importantly, they will continue to be addressed. Yes, more skeletons will come out of the closet. Yes, in addition to fund liquidations, there are concerns over credit card debt, there are concerns over insurance derivatives. There are plenty of concerns, but again, a lot of that is already factored into the system. So I think that why would one be jumping on the capitulation trade here today? Well, perhaps on a belief that markets will just keep going down and stay down. That would be one reason. Another reason would be psychological, because it's just been so painful that people just feel that psychologically they'd be better off if they actually closed the position out. People who are in that position will know, of course, that they have been overweight in equities. But if you have a balanced portfolio of assets, including some property, I know that's coming down. I'm talking about one's home. If you have some collectibles, if you have some cash, it's usually advisable to have a portfolio that's diversified across the assets. Then I think that the idea of selling here today to me, and I can only talk about me, you'll know what's right for you. But for me, the idea of selling here today, in the hope that I would be able to buy the same positions back, or the equivalent, or better, at a meaningfully lower level, is just a throw of the dice I'm not prepared to take. So I'll stay with what I have, because I think that was it emphasize the capitulation that we're seeing here, and I do think that that we will get more of an equity bounce and reversion to the mean than we have seen to date. And then once we've had that mean reversion rally, which I think could easily carry into the first quarter, I wouldn't be at all surprised if markets came back down in an extensive base formation phase. And yes, some of them will probably go to new lows, but I think more importantly that would mark a base development phase overall. And I like valuations down here. Valuations can always be cheaper in markets, and we don't know the extent to which the low valuations that we see today will be bumped up a little bit by, or a lot, depending on which sector or country or in components we're looking at, by further economic weakness. But net it all out, we have markets that are very overextended on the downside. We're moving into a favorable time period, and the monetary policies are favorable for equities going ahead. So I'm in no rush to deploy my cash, as I've said before, but equally, I don't feel under any pressure to chop my unleveraged, that's what they are, my unleveraged ISA and SIPs equity positions. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it, and doesn't mean I'm happy about the drawdown, but yes, I am relatively calm about it, because I feel that those positions will recover. Now, what about gold in here? Well, of course, it faces a very stiff headwind from the US dollar, and gold is not immune to some of the capitulation selling that we're seeing. It's indiscriminate. It always is. I think gold's a good insurance policy to have, but you know that I've been very cautious about gold. Veteran subscribers who have followed my trading policies over the last, or have observed, I mean, who have observed my trading policies over the last 8 years. How often have you seen me out of the precious metal markets? I'm just not buying gold or silver futures, and I occasionally buy platinum futures. I'm just not doing it in this environment, because although they're at interesting levels, they are in downward trends, And platinum's lead is still negative, and I think that the unwinding of positions in some of those commodity tracker funds and bullion funds continues here today. Gold, incidentally, is at 744, so it's testing the low that we saw. I believe it was last month. There's a back to the future element to all this, as I've mentioned on many other occasions. It is bringing the good news is that it is bringing a lot of markets back to increasingly attractive levels, and I don't doubt that some of them will get even more attractive. Sometimes to levels that many investors and traders probably felt we'd never see again, or at least not for a very, very long time. And for instance, silver, which has undoubtedly been my best in trading vehicle over the last 8 years, having seen silver accelerate up to over $22 and seeing it now below $10 and coming down, and not having any silver, I'm very interested in the opportunities that this will present. But I'm not tempted to rush in here just yet. Now, the dollar, I am going to review the dollar again, or update my latest review, or my previous review on the dollar against a number of other currencies. I think that's important to do at this time, because one of the key developments in the weeks or months ahead will be an eventual end to this US dollar. At least I'm talking about at least a medium term end. And once that happens, I think it will have a significant effect on a number of other markets. But more on all of that tomorrow. Meanwhile, as I speak, things are still pretty much as they were when I did my initial review here. The theme is still one of asset liquidation against the background of a strong US dollar. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.